You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning and welcome to the North Sound 2 Talking. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll discuss the local stories that matter this week and the issues that are important to you. And as ever, anything can happen before midday. It's your opportunity to voice your opinion on the air to the listeners across the northeast of Scotland. Has something happened that has left you speechless, annoyed you, upset you, made you angry? Or maybe you have something that you want to celebrate. Some good news for a change. It's all here for you. Now, today we can't help but go back to what we were reporting on last week and in previous weeks, in point of fact. The wind farm. Aberdeenshire Council Committee approved a submission to the Marine Scotland consultation, saying they are neither for or against the plans. Now, this has developed because the Trump Organisation have categorically stated that they will stop all developments at the Gulf site until this wind farm is basically banished. They do not want a wind farm facing their golf course. Royal Aberdeen have also stated that they are a little bit unhappy about this wind farm there as well. Now, that would lead me to believe that the third golf course, and I don't know, presumably find themselves in the same boat. So this wind farm is causing a lot of problems. It's also come out that it's been stated by politicians that wind farms are going to be springing up and there is a drive to have wind farms all around Scotland. This seems to be seen as the chosen form of energy for Scotland in the future. David Rogers from the developers says that getting a submission is a big step forward.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a boost for the project, but also it comes on the back of a degree of support that we've already received. Over 400 people have written in support of our scheme, and we understand around 14 have against. Obviously, these types of projects create differences of opinion and strong views, but from our point of view, we do believe we've got broad support from both the public and the general business and energy communities here in Aberdeen.
Hamish Gray is the chief executive of the Scottish Golf Union. Now, he represents the local golf clubs in general, and he says local clubs like Royal Aberdeen have real concerns.
The Scottish Golf Union supports the concerns of local clubs about the potential negative impact this development could have on golf. A proposed location of the turbine so close to the shoreline will risk undermining golf tourism. And importantly, golf tourism brings significant income into the Aberdeen region and has real potential for growth, which should be taken into consideration on this matter.
Now, if we take this as a general thing, there's a lot of income comes into Scotland via, as the guy Hamish Gray has said, is golf tours. People come over and they'll play golf various areas. One of the ideas that's been mooted is the fact that if we have Royal Aberdeen, there's also the potential for a development on the course at Hazel Head. That's still on the back burner. We have the Trumps course. We obviously have Murker, all in the same area. We have courses in Cruden Bay. We also have the potential for another golf course going up at out Ardo Way. This would give, in potential, the ability for people to fly in on a day and play over a week a course a day in Aberdeenshire. Now, if, as they say, the wind farms are going to be detrimental to the golf tours coming in, that could be a lot of income which could be lost. Obviously, that income then spreads to hotels, to the companies who do the transportation. The airport have got their extended runway, so they're obviously geared up for taking in international flights. Donald Trump has stated that he is looking for international golfers to come and spend time at his complex and play in his course. And presumably, he acknowledges the fact he'll play at other courses as well. So do these wind farms, albeit they seem to be taking a major stand to give energy for the future, but do they have to be put where they're put? I mean, could we not have discussion? Could we not have a little bit of thought for everybody's point of view? That's one aspect of things that go on. The other thing was Aberdeen councillors have given the controversial City Garden project the green light. A special meeting took place to hear from the architects, the analysts and members of the public. There was also a lively debate about the government TIF funding scheme, which ended in councillors voting 24-15 in favour of the £140 million revamp of Union Terrace Gardens. Now, the architects architect, Charles Renfro, spoke to councillors about his vision for the project in these weeks, in this week's sort of special council meeting dedicated to this.
It's also an amazing opportunity to revitalise a very heart of a city that is not what it could be. It's still much loved, but it's not as vibrant as it could be. The heart is not pumping as quickly as it could be. And we're excited to be involved in its regeneration.
That's a gentleman who represents the American company who won the competition for their design for the future of Union Terrace Gardens. Council leader Callum McCaig says all the decisions made this week will not and cannot apply if the public don't say yes to the up-and-coming referendum.
If the public say no to the City Garden project, it will not happen. Furthermore, it cannot happen. There will not be the TIF funding unlocked. There will not be Sirrian Wood's £50 million donation towards it. And there will not be support from the councillors. So if anyone can fathom a way that they can proceed without that, then they've got a particularly vivid imagination. So if people want it to happen, go out and vote for it.
Now, as far as the voting is concerned, voting packs will be issued around the 16th of February with papers for counting returned no later than 5 p.m. on Thursday, the 1st of March. And apparently the voting can take place either by post, it can take place via the internet, and I think there's a telephone system as well. However, you can only vote once, obviously, can't use three of them. But once again, we seem to be in a situation where In the press, the councillors have come out and said some of them feel that they're for the project, some feel they're against the project. The thing that I see at the moment is the referendum, which was debated long and hard, has not happened. But yet there seems to be still the ongoing, if this happens, and the presentations. Councillors are coming out and saying, yes, we approve of this. Some are saying that they're undeclared. Some say they're against it. But surely the very fact that the councillors are actually having a say when the referendum's coming could influence the referendum. And the decision has been made that the people in the city of Aberdeen have got to take part in this. Now, it's an Us Sound 2 talking, and we're ready to take your calls, your emails, your tweets or your texts. You see the subjects are going, albeit they are subjects that have been discussed, but it seems to be these items are moving on, and they do have an influence. You can call us at 01224 401035, or you can text 61025. You have to prefix your message with CAMMY. That is CAMMY with two M's and a Y, CAMMY, because if it's not spelled properly, apparently it gets lost all over the place. You can email CAMMY at northsam2.com or you can tweet us on CAMMY 1035. Evelyn, how are
you? I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
You know something? I'm okay.
Good.
It's a bit miserable weather-wise, but yes, you know, I'm up fighting fit and I'm ready to go.
It is.
What have you got
now,
for me?
It's a Union Terrace Gardens, which I'm on about again.
Okay.
I was reading in the paper, undeclared 14, keep 16, for the City Gardens 13, right? Now, I don't think that the councillors should be undeclared. They should either say yes or no, because we're getting in a referendum to vote either yes or no. So why can they nay? Are they just waiting to see what the people say and then they're going to vote with the people? Or so they didn't get blamed for saying yes or no.
Yeah.
And another thing,
uh-huh.
I just newly got through a post. It's a vote for the Aberdeen City Garden project. It was delivered, I think, on Friday, right? Now, fast paying for all the leaflets to go out, because, I mean, they must be paid for somewhere, and they're actually brainwashing us.
Well,
for the City Garden project.
Uh-huh.
And another thing, they say that they're going to have this, say, a cultural and arts centre.
Uh-huh.
And 5,000-seated outdoor centre. What's going to happen to our music hall and the theatre and the arts centre and the lemon tree that we've already got?
Well, blimey, but you've been doing your homework, haven't you? Right, first things first. You were referring to the Evening Express. The question was put to the various councillors, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I think, in fairness, the question was put to them as a question, and not as a vote. And yes, I understand what you're saying. If we go to vote, it's a case of we have to vote yes or no. But I think maybe the question was put to the councillors, and I think it was put in the context of them having seen the presentation from the Americans. Because yeah. What actually happened in the chamber was the Americans had the presentation there and they showed them and described them and they took questions and answers on the thing. So they were then in a position where, if you like, they had had the project explained to them. So I think they were asked the question in the context of that meeting. Okay. So, but at the same time, I take your point that, you know, is it correct that the councillors, you know, should say one thing or another? It is their individual opinion, but... You know, you're right. People could be and will be influenced by what their feelings are, surely, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the point? What was your other point you had?
About the His Majesty's Theatre. I mean, as I say, a 5,000-seated outdoor concert and festival arena and a major new cultural and arts design. Now, it's going to happen to the His Majesty's Theatre and the music.
Well, His Majesty's Theatre and the Music Hall and the Lemon Tree are all part of the Trust, and they are an operation in their own right. So my assumption is the competitive nature would have to take on. However, you know, the greatest respect to the American designers, this is Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And, you know, outdoor stuff in Aberdeen is a hit or a miss, big time. Now, unless it's going to be enclosed, which my assumption would be it would have to be and heated, if you're having a project with the potential for 5,000 people to sit there, I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So my presumption is they would have something organised whereby, you know, it would be covered or heated. But yes, I take a point. They also, I don't know if this is correct, but they also said there might be some form of ice rink there.
No, I was an ice rink there before.
Yes, but
hard.
Well, they had a mobile ice rink brought in for Christmas time for going shopping as part of the winter festival.
I was led to believe they bought this ice rink, and then suddenly it.
Yes, but I'm not quite sure if that ice rink's in or out. But again, you know, we have an ice rink you know, and an ice rink's an expensive thing to run. And, and you know, the ice rink that is already run by the Sports Trust needs all the support it can get. So once again, it comes back to if you're giving people, well, you can go to this ice rink or that ice rink. I mean, something's going to have to give there, isn't it? And really, do we really need two ice rinks in the city of Aberdeen?
No. I think it's somebody's dream, and the time it's finished,
yeah,
there'll be no businesses left in Aberdeen, and there, and that things, that projects have got a real habit of doubling in price.
Uh-huh.
And how are we going to get money for it? We shouldn't really be thinking of this. We should be thinking of sprucing up. I mean, if the Peacock Arts had got there, it would have been done and dusted, and it would have been operational.
Well,
for a fraction of the price.
I think time seems to be one of the issues in this whole project, you know?
I mean, I'm not against change, right enough, but we just haven't got the money. And this, we could get money for the tax increment.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But they didn't say, we will get money. We could get it.
Well, this is the other point, and a lot of the argument is around the fact is that unless the money is assured, then the project really shouldn't start at all. And there is concerns about the budget and the budget and the thing, which is fair comment as well, I suppose, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is.
But, I mean, the other thing I was saying was, say, far does the money come for to protest leaflets?
Yes.
Far does that come for?
Well, I'm not really sure where that happens.
Because, I mean, quite a few people have got this leaflet, and it's all for the Union Terrace Gardens, and as I say, they're brainwashing us.
Well, I think when it comes to the referendum, people are going to have to make their own decision and they're going to have to vote. But I think the important thing is that people do vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it would be a dreadful waste of an opportunity if people just thought, oh, I'm fed up with the thing and didn't. So, I mean, I think anybody would agree that the most important thing is that people do get out there and put forward their vote one way or the other. Okay, listen, thanks very much for phoning. You take it easy. Have a nice day.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. If you've got an opinion or you want to get involved, 01224 401035. Once again, text 61025, prefix your text with Cammy, and Grant will find out what the texts are doing. But first, we'll talk to Raymond after the break.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Welcome to Talkin'. We are here today talking about Unitas Gardens and the wind farm at the moment, but also looking ahead to next week. Now, you may recall that we spoke on a couple of weeks ago about the referendum. Two special shows for the referendum. Scottish Secretary Michael Moore will be in the studio next week taking calls, and First Minister Alex Salmond will be in the studio the following week. Because of the status of these guys, we're talking the Scottish Secretary, Michael Moore, and First Minister Alex Salmond. Our political editor, Colin Mackay, will be sitting in the chair, and he will be sorting things out. They're taking in the big guns in all senses. So, the point is, if you would like to get some questions put forward, I spoke to Grant about this, and Grant says last time that the First Minister was doing anything, the phone lines were just chock-a-block, weren't they?
It was me taking the calls, yeah. And I took about four calls to start the show off, and then the switchboard just...
Instant jammed. So,
it went jammed.
If people do want to get a question put forward to Colin, would it be an idea for them to email them in to us? Or?
What Colin did is he had all his emails ready. He had a stack of emails for Alex when he was in Aberdeen, and he had loads of calls. He was doing call, email. So I would say that if your question is good enough and it goes to the top of his pile, I would email it in.
And Colin is very good. He is very, very good. We do bow to his superiority, don't we, in this matter?
I think he's got an incredible voice. He sounds like he's got power. Yeah. And he doesn't look like what he sounds like. I remember meeting him. So.
But he's definitely the man for the job. The thing is, if you get your emails into Cammy at northsound2.com, we can then get the emails passed down to Colin. And as Grant says, you know, this is... It's the questions we're looking for. So if you can get the questions there, we'll pass them to Colin, and Colin will take a question. So it's next week, the 5th of February, Scottish Secretary Michael Moore, and Sunday, the 12th of February, First Minister Alex Salmond here in North Sound 2. On the phone lines, Raymond, how are you?
Hello, Colin, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, man, how are you?
Very good.
You're sounding good. Right, oh, blimey. Union Terrace, wind farms and new houses.
Yep.
Okay, Union Terrace.
Well, I'll just skim across it because I'm actually fed up hearing about it. they're going to build something they can't afford, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to raise money.
Yeah.
Once it's built, to keep it going, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was taught when I was younger was you raise your money first, then you buy or get something that you need. You don't go and... Could you imagine me walking into a shop and saying, I want a suit?
Yeah.
And I take the suit and walk out with it and I say, I'm going to really try and raise some money and pay for this.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd get away with that, would you?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems, Raymond, is, and a lot of people are voicing this as a genuine concern, and you've just think the funding. The funding of this project, okay, Sir Ian Wood is putting forward his contribution. He will put forward his contribution if the project goes ahead, and that is a substantial amount of money in anybody's book. However, other money has to be found, and it has to be found in order to achieve that. So, you know, I take it on board what you're saying, but I think surely in this day and age, the prudence would dictate that they would have the funding available to complete the project, because it would be a blooming disaster if it wasn't finished, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
okay.
It just sort of fits in with what I was going to speak about, the wind farm.
Yeah.
Like the wind farm is in the Trump estate. Well, it's not got to be on the estate, it's got to be in the sea.
Yeah.
Well, so Ian Wood is a bit like Trump, right?
Uh-huh.
He is saying, if it's not done what I want you to do, the money will not be put in.
Okay.
Trump is threatening to back off.
Yeah.
If you put the wind farm at the sea, right? Now, it reminds me on, Cammy.
Yeah.
The school boogie.
Uh-huh.
If you go down to the boogie at school, you will be done. It always happens. I tried it. I got beat up a few times, but I never gave in. So what the people say in Scotland, Aberdeen, actually now, is they just say to Trump, is that right? On you go.
I take the point, but he can then argue he was there first and he had his permissions given. And I think, although he takes a very aggressive approach and they have an aggressive approach towards this, I think the thing they're trying to say, if you read behind the vocals type thing, is the fact that they have all their permissions approved for the development, and the wind farm is just now it's just a submission, and even Aberdeenshire Council, the council committee have said they are neither for or against the plan. So the wind farm is a submission. So if we just sort of calm down the rhetoric a bit, all we have at the moment is a submission by a wind farm developer to put a wind farm in a specific area. We then have, as it stands, two people, albeit golf clubs, who have said, look, we'd prefer it not to be there. Now, if you take this into just a straightforward analogy, the East Peripheral Route has gone this way as well. People say we don't want it there and they have got a right to complain and to put forward their complaints.
Yeah, I understand that. But the point is, right, the golfers, and you go to this golf courses, right?
Yeah.
When you're playing golf, which I have done once in my life, didn't think much about it, but I'm going to that.
Hey, at least you tried it.
But when you're on the course, you watch the ball and you watch what you're doing and you're focused on the course. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
So you're focused on the course. What difference would it make if maybe half a mile out or maybe a mile out to sea,
yeah,
I was some wind farm thing going round and round. You wouldn't hear it. It wouldn't put you off. I mean, I was there to look at the countryside or was there to look at the course and play the golf?
Well, I think you'll find that certainly in the Trump case, they are stating that if they are putting up a luxury hotel and the luxury that's involved in that standard of hotel that Trump wants to put in there and has got permission to put in there, they don't want to have a wind farm on the eye line. And I think I suppose it's cosmetic, Raymond, which you're getting at, really, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, you went to a place like that to play golf, and you're going to a hotel, you'd be treated like royalty, probably.
Yeah.
I don't understand it myself, like, but they're going to do that. And they're going to stand and look out their windows and say, oh my God, look, there's a wind farm there.
Yeah.
This is wrong, it shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll have to find out and just see what the proof of the pudding is, Raymond. But I take on board what you're saying.
I mean, come on, it's all my game.
What's the new houses thing?
Oh, yeah. Go on. I was listening to the other day. And there's a council for Bridget Duncan. And they said that they were going to be building, I can't remember exactly how much it was, but maybe 1,000, maybe 1,500 or something, new houses in the Bridget Duncan area.
Yeah.
And the residents and the councillor, by the way, I didn't catch his name, he was gone before I got a chance. He said that the Bridgestone residents don't want more houses there.
Uh-huh.
It will cause congestion, even with the South Don Bridge. Now, I didn't know that the South Don Bridge was actually aware of it was going to be built.
Trust you. I think it's more than 1,500. I think the concern is that it would put stress on the parkway, and it would put stress on the
yeah, it would cause congestion even more than it is now.
Yeah,
even with the bridge, you said.
And well, I think so, but I mean, I'm intrigued about the new bridge project. That's interesting. That'll probably spring up. I thought that was still in the thought process.
No, it was just the way that he said it. He says that will cause, I've got it written down here, it will cause more congestion, even with the new Third Dawn Bridge.
Okay.
Me personally, I voted against it.
Uh huh.
Because, as you know, I come from Hayton.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the Hayton people are up in arms about it. We've all said no, and the telephone and the places round about, Bedford, you name it, anywhere area that's got to be affected.
Yeah. So.
And we're all against it. All of a sudden, I've got a council saying, even with the South Road Bridge blocked.
Yeah. And that is, well, at the moment, that seems to be the only area under discussion for the Third Bridge, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's interesting.
So I'll tell you something. It's the same as the one before.
Uh-huh.
With the gardens, right?
Uh-huh.
They will build it anyway, and they will build this bridge anyway.
Okay, right. So that's Union Terrace Gardens covered, Wind Farms covered, but you're more intrigued about this Third Bridge, aren't you?
Very intrigued about the bridge, yeah.
Okay, you never know.
It affects me personally.
Well,
I've got another 14 things here I'd like to get into. But I'll leave them alone just now, come right?
Raymond, that's most kind of you.
Okay. Thanks for that, mate. Bye.
There you go, ta-ra. Well, there you go. Raymond's brought up a small point. Well, I don't know if it's that small. The Third Bridge, it's been mentioned. What's the situation with that? It seems to me in Aberdeen there's an awful lot of things up in the air just now. 01224 401035, give me a call if you've got any input on any of that. Raymond would love to hear about this Third Bridge. We'll come back after the break to the phones.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
It's a talk-in on Sunday with Cammy, Grant and John. You're more than welcome to get involved. It's wind farms. It's wind farms in the Union Terrace Gardens at the moment, although there are quite a few other things. The referendum is coming up next week. Scottish Secretary Michael Moore will be in the studio taking calls and taking emails. Now, our suggestion is, because it's a hot topic, if you send in your emails and questions, if you send them in to cammy@northsound2.com, we'll pass it over to political man Colin Mackay, and that will go in for consideration. We can't guarantee every question getting done, but we'll try it. So it's the 5th of February, Scottish Secretary Michael Moore. On Sunday the 12th of February, First Minister Alex Salmond in the North Sound 2 studio, and it's a phone-in in reference to the referendum, which takes place basically just the same hours, same format, and you can get involved. That's what it's all about. Right, Grant, text time. Grant, what have we got?
Quite busy, actually. Quite a few texts this morning. Cammy, are there plans for a pitch and a putt at... You've put me off here by saying UTG, Union Terrace Gardens, I think you mean. But there's no name on that text. Is there plans for that?
I have no
idea.
You see, you know something? I'm just wondering, you know, I think people's sense of humour's coming popping into this a wee bit as well. Pitch and putt. Why not? I mean, if we're having a... I suppose it would be.
I take it you mean golf course by putt.
Eh? Yeah, golf course.
Uh-huh. Cammy, if the wind farm is too close to Donald Trump's golf course, surely the breeze that it would create could move the ball at a vital putt. It really hasn't been thought through. There's no name on that text either. I don't think that would happen.
I think not. I don't think it's going to interfere with the mechanics of the game of golf.
The next thing, they'll be wanting a statue of Sir Woods. That's going to cost us more money, from Angie Walker, who loves you apparently. A couple of kisses on that text message as well.
What's not a love? A statue? Nah, I don't know. No, I cannot see a statue of Sir Ian Wood there. I can't see that. I don't think that's in his makeup.
Tony's been in touch. Nobody's been brainwashed, but something needs to be done to sort out the mess. I take it he's talking about Union Terrace Gardens there. And Sadie sent a text in. What's wrong with the gardens just now? Maybe just a wee clean up. Do that and we'll save some cash.
I think the gardens are in a pretty bad state, and something has to be done to them in order to preserve them and to keep them safe. Even although the projects do not go ahead, or the project nothing happens, that something is going to have to be done in order to bring them up to a standard of just care and attention. I mean, the Union Terrace Gardens are old, man. You can see that the iron work, the metal work, it corrodes and all the rest of it. There's the toilets that were there are apparently unusable now because the actual trees, the roots have caused so much damage. You know that.
Going
through the concrete. So there is sort of care and attention has to be done there, and that has to happen. But I mean, as far as people being brainwashed, I don't know if brainwashed is the right phrase, but certainly people are putting forward their opinions. And I can only come back to the situation whereby when the vote does take place, then they really need to you know, they really need to get going, and they really need to vote one way or t'other in order to have some form of say in the matter, because if they don't, then it's It's a completely wasted exercise. But there we go. That's the text so far. As far as the emails are concerned, a guy called Andy says, Cammy, you know something? It seems to me as if Aberdeen, as you said, have got so many projects just toodling on, toodling on, toodling on. We really need to get them either up and going or move on to something else. Well, that's another way of looking at it. But again, it would seem to be, particularly in the Union Terrace Garden State, that things are pushing on quite well. If you want to get in touch, it's 01224 401035. Hello, Graham. How are you?
Very good morning to you, Cammy. Two things. Why doesn't or have Marine Scotland thought about transferring the wind farm to Nigg Bay?
Well, now, it's funny you should say that, Graham, because we came off the show last week, right? Mm-hmm. And there was discussion about this as well. We were trying to find out who actually gives planning permission for this.
Right.
You know, so this is where the Marine Scotland thing is. I think it would probably be like any other planning permission application whereby... Uh-huh. What can I say? Where you can put it where your first choice is.
Mm-hmm.
But my assumption, and I would like to think, that surely with discussion and collaboration, you know, maybe both people could achieve what they want, couldn't they?
Aye, aye. That's what I was thinking.
But if
it would appease Trump and it would appease the other wind farms. It would appease the other golf courses if it was put there.
Yes.
But my only reservation is, would the wind be strong enough there in relation to, you know, Aberdeen Bay? It's probably better in Aberdeen because there would be a lot more wind coming off the coastline.
I don't mean to be daft, but you know, we need wind.
Uh-huh.
You know, we need wind. So I suppose... the sighting would be in order to get the maximum amount
aye,
of wind.
Aye.
But hell's teeth, man. You know, we specialise in wind up here, don't we?
No, it was just...
Sometimes natural and sometimes not so natural, but never mind, never mind.
It was just, I saw a sketch in the Evening Express and you saw all the boats going out through the wind farm and I thought, that could be a problem in itself.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, you're right enough, Graham, yes. Aye. Now... That again, stating the obvious, that has a fair bit to do with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they have to be in a situation where the ship and traffic is taken into account. And somebody also said helicopters have got a point as well.
Well, I would have thought, if they're a mile, I wouldn't have thought it had anything to do with the helicopters, because are they going to actually ditch within a mile of the shore, or are they going to ditch further out if there's an emergency?
I think if they've an option, they'd prefer not to ditch at all.
Aye,
you know?
Aye. Right, Union Terrace Gardens.
Oh, hi, come on.
this TIF, it said it's going to be, if it goes ahead, it's going to be the business people who are going to be hit by it, because their business rates are going to probably double, possibly treble, I would have thought. Would they be happy with that?
Well, is there not some form of scheme for generating money which is going to increase the city centre rates by a percentage?
But what sort of percentage? You know, they may be happy enough to carry on just now until they sort of hear the percentage, and then they'll start moaning.
Well, I think in this day and age, no matter what happens, if people are spending out more money in the current financial climate, you know, they want their return to be seen, and B, they want a return, because, you know, money's hard fought nowadays and people aren't going to give it away. Having said that, mind you, are you alluding to the fact that once this development is up, if it gets voted on at the referendum, are you sort of saying, well, you know, if the development is there, it's going to be pristine, it's going to be valued, if people are going to move into those, I would assume there's going to be business areas there as well, is there?
I just wondered whether there was going to be shops or something underneath the whole development.
Uh-huh.
Because I can't see where these, I think somebody said 6,000 jobs were going to be created. I can't see where that's going to happen.
Well, they did. That was put out that there was going to be
some sort of report.
I think that was Price Waterhouse put out that report. And they said the income from the development and also the job opportunity from the development was valid, you know? Now, if that is the case, that's fine. But I would assume behind the scenes, there would be some form of business areas or units or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, that would be then rated, and I presume the rateable value would be set as a new place. And,
right.
You know,
right.
The rates might be slightly higher, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Or is it city centre rates are based on city centre as opposed to age of building?
I don't know.
I'm really not sure about that, Graham. Really not sure.
This forest they're proposing to plant, you know, how long is that going to take to mature? Or even sort of become a forest?
Well, funny...
50 years, 100 years,
well,
150?
This is something that tickled me a little bit as well, okay? But I know in America, when they do developments like this, they have the ability to put a machine to lift out a mature tree.
All right, okay.
So basically this thing whoops up this tree, they transport it and they pop it in.
It's a pity they can't do that with the trees that are there at the moment.
Damn it, I knew you were going to get me in that.
And another thing, you were speaking about the roots lifting up.
Yeah.
You know, again, I was looking at the Evening Express and I saw another sketch, and it had the architect guy from America in it as well, and I saw that the trees were sort of in between, well, they were planted and there was like paving slabs over the top, and that's the sort of thing that, you know, these will lift come time, and, you know, there'll be problems with that.
Yeah, and I was talking to a guy who knows about trees,
uh-huh.
And he was saying, you know, that there's particular types of trees that would be suitable for that sort of development, but equally there's particular trees that would not be suitable for a development
right,
like that.
Okay,
so,
okay.
I mean, I'm sure this is all in the notes and it would all have to be thought, but, I mean, it intrigues me that we're going to have a forest, you know?
Aye.
I mean, trees is nice, but, I mean, a forest, you know?
Uh-huh.
Does that mean we'll have... Don't go there, Carmi, don't go there. Okay.
A couple other things, Carmi, just in
there. No, crack on, lad. This is what the show's all about. It's your chance. You've vented off, boy.
The spider's web. Is it going to be... Are the council going to be able to sand it and so on during the winter when there's snow and ice? Because as far as I could see, again, for the Evening Express sketch, there was going to be steps up and steps that, you know, you were going to be on this, it looked like level concrete going across the bridge. That didn't look as if there was any high handrails or high barricades, you know, to stop folk jumping off of this thing.
Well, jump,
you know,
jump.
It's going to be a new Union Bridge, if you understand my meaning.
Yes, well, I do. And I mean, that's exactly what springs to mind. And that's not the sort of thing we want. We don't want an area, you know, capable of that sort of thing. But again, Graham, you know, we're just sitting looking at plans. And as you rightly say, you're looking at sketches and drawings. I mean, the councillors saw the complete presentation and presumably they have seen representation of what it's going to be like. But again, like everything else, what starts off in the plans, once you're building, there has to be a bit of give and take, doesn't there? So I know, but yes, basic maintenance after the thing's done, it would have to be sanded, it would have to be looked after, have to be done. Yeah.
The thing is, it's also going to be vulnerable to vandal attack by graffiti artists and folk with their chewing gum. You know, that's going to be sort of thought out as well.
My hell, you've thought about this, boy, haven't you?
Well,
Graham, you need to get out more, mate. You need to get out more.
Also, the auditorium, as you mentioned earlier, you know, this is Aberdeen. What do they need a 5,000-seater auditorium for? Is it going to be doubling up as an auditorium and a skate rink? And if so, how much are the council going to charge for people to go into the skate rink? Because obviously, as you said earlier, it's going to cost a lot of money to generate this ice.
There's a lady who's in her silver years.
Right.
This came under discussion, and she was saying, "Oh, you'll have plenty on the show. You'll be speaking about that." And he says, "Do these Americans not understand how solar piles are?" Aye, okay, fine.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Tommy.
Okay, Graham, thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers,
cheers.
Bye.
Now, every week we have some good news, and there's a couple of things which appeal to us and the team. We'll do that. We'll do that next.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Here we go, toodling towards midday. Some good bits of news. A man was pulled from the wreckage of a fiery car on the A90. Good news because people did something. His car came off the road at Newton Hill, smashed through a wall, burst into flames. A motorist who was driving behind him with his pregnant wife pulled the person out of the wreckage. He was also helped by the owner and chef from the Mumbai Spice restaurant. The thing we like about this one is the gentleman who had the pregnant wife, he assisted, right? And the guy came out of his restaurant and he helped as well, and then just nonchalantly turned around, went back and started serving people in the restaurant. There's nothing happened. So good for him. The other thing is something that is winding so many people up, and that's bankers' bonuses. The Royal Bank of Scotland chairman, Sir Philip Hampton, has given up on a 1.4 million shares reward. He was due later this year. He has decided that it would not be appropriate to receive that sort of bonus under the current situations. Hey, good for him. Rick, how are you doing?
I'm very welcome. Are you?
Oh, well, we're getting there, man. We're getting there. What have you got for me today?
Good, good. Are you going to give up your bonuses as well?
Listen, I will gladly give up the bonuses. So is Grant giving up his bonuses, and so is John.
Yeah, me too.
And the fact that we don't work bonus systems helps us to do that quite happily.
Exactly.
Anyway, carry on, Rick.
All right. It's your favourite topic, Union Terrace Gardens.
Yeah, go on.
Right, apparently there is going to be a 5,000-seater outdoor auditorium,
yep,
which will double as the rink.
Oh, so it's... okay, yeah.
Apparently the bowl will be formed in the natural amphitheatre in the Denburn, yep, Valley.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to cost, obviously, £140 million. Right, now, this is the point. If I remember right, in recent years, Aberdeen City Council used to hire skating rigs,
yes,
part of its winter festival.
That's right, yeah.
Right, and they did the same down at Castlegate before the council pulled the plug.
Yeah.
As they do, like, for Hogmanay, you know, festivities. We have nothing apart from, a 20-minute fire display from the rooftop of HMT. Oh, how smart. How can Aberdeen actually get away with that when Edinburgh, Glasgow, Inverness can put on a lavish bash?
Ah, now hold your budgie. Glasgow, to my knowledge, didn't put on anything.
Okay.
Now Glasgow pulled the plug purely for budgetary reasons,
yeah,
because I know, and I'm writing that because I know a lot of the crews who used to work on that. Mm-hmm. And in Glasgow, it wasn't just the night. I mean, the crews worked there the week before, so a lot of the crews missed out on a lot of work down there. So that was pulled. Edinburgh pulled back, and Aberdeen, they did pull the outside celebrations, and you're right, they had the fireworks, but also the AECC had the Hogmanay party out there on the 31st.
Yeah.
What was it called, Grant?
Granite Rocks.
That's right, Granite Rocks. Yeah.
All right.
You see? So, I mean, there was celebration in Aberdeen if you choose to find a celebration. So, point taken. But the point you've made about the big theatre, 5,000 people, that's a lot of people, and another ice rink in town, well, that's another story altogether. Appreciate,
yeah,
that, Rick. Okay.
Exactly.
No worries, man.
So, now, apparently, the City Garden proposal is going to include a new art culture centre, two plazas off Union Street and Belton Street, and areas of space below the ground.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, obviously, I think the council is going to have to borrow money from... now, I'm not sure if it's going to be from the Scottish Government, but in the business side of it, it's going to be allowing local authority to repay a loan for half the scheme with new business rates.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Now, the campaign group for the gardens saying they're concerned a loss of trees and the need to borrow the cash for the scheme.
Yeah.
So, what is going to happen? You know, are we going to lose that beautiful garden completely? Is all the trees going to disappear?
Yeah. The fact of the matter is, and not to cut you too short too quickly, the fact is that if this project does get the go-ahead, the funding will have to be achieved before it goes ahead, because and as far as the funding is concerned, there's grants available, loans available, and I have no idea, but it will have to be achieved. And you're right, it have to be achieved, but as people have said previously, the funding will have to be achieved to get the project done in its entirety. So I really don't know, but that's something it you know, again, might come up in further discussion. But Rick, listen, I'm going to chase you off because I've got a couple other guys I want to get through it as well, hopefully. Okay,
all right.
Take it easy, man. Thank you very much. John, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, Graham. Yourself?
I'm fitting well, man. Fitting well.
Good. It's just about the Gerbens. Again, everybody's kind of speaking about it. But what I find a bit disconcerting at the moment is that it's been obvious from the very start that as a majority of people in a town want to keep the gardens.
Yes.
And I can't need improved out. I can't all that.
Yeah.
But what's concerning me is that ever since the start, it's been pushed and pushed and pushed, and there's always a vested interest in this some way.
Yeah.
Whether it be, I can, a lot of the business community are for it, like Stuart D. Mill and all these guys, but they're totally ignoring the fact that we, as a population of Aberdeen, didn't want this to happen.
Yeah.
But they keep pushing it, and they come along with these things like the jobs, the 6,500 jobs or something. Fit ever are going to be doing, okay, so some of them might be involved in the construction, I can understand that.
Yes,
But then, I've got to be all the shops and all the rest of it. Now, we've got low unemployment in this area. It's probably the lowest in the hill of Britain. And yet, for the idea, the winner here people to do these jobs, there's already shops closing down our place.
Yeah.
And even the shops that are there.
Yeah.
They've got to find it difficult to get people to do these low-paid jobs anyway. So if they've got to take more people in for abroad or whatever.
Well, the thing is, when jobs go up, you cover jobs. And I mean, Aberdeen's a diverse city anyway, so it's a case of getting things done. But John, what you've brought up is a very good point. It's all very well discussed in the development, but what we really need to look at is, we're looking at, okay, if we've got the development up and running, how do we keep the development alive and surviving after its completion point, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a good point. John, I appreciate that, mate. Listen, you keep up with this, and I'm sure it'll come back up when they go again.
I'm sure it will.
Okay, thanks for the phone calls.
Just
before we go on the email, thanks to Colin. Colin says, ref the wind farm application comments by Raymond. What he does not understand is that this particular area has many golf courses and international visitors want the whole experience, not just the course. So, there we go. That's the way it is in the talking.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.